Hello, welcome to the Reflective Meditation Podcast. We're so glad you're here. In each episode, we offer a short Dharma talk that discusses the Dharma and how it may appear in our daily lives. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. After the talk, you're invited to meditate for 15 minutes or as long as you please. And then, if you wish, we also invite you to journal about anything that came up for you in your meditation.
So we're going to talk about spiritual friendship, Kalyanamitta, admirable friendship, et cetera, this morning.
And some of the et ceteras, we'll be talking some about retreats and how these kinds of friendships commonly develop on retreats.
We have two paragraphs in our book, Reflective Meditation, Cultivating Kindness and Curiosity in the Buddha's Company. And we thought we'd start off reading those two paragraphs and then jumping off from there.
You want me to start?
Okay.
Kalyanamitta is the Buddhist idea of spiritual friendship. This ideal is at home in both monastic and lay communities. Someone involved in such friendship is known as a Kalyanamitta, a good friend, a virtuous friend, noble friend, or admirable friend, knowing each other by practicing Dharma together. Most sanghas become a circle of spiritual friends. And by the way, this morning I like the translation admirable friend. That's my favorite this morning.
Right, and we've kind of been questioning ourselves about using spiritual friend and find that we use it at times, other times we're kind of debating about using it. So,
just because what does the word spiritual mean? And it means so many, it's a wonderful word, and it's also a overused word that stops having clear meaning.
And I think it's probably better used in context. So there's a certain way that it really fits, and other times it's not quite what we're talking about. So that's what we're trying to get at.
Right, so admirable friends is what we're talking about. Good friends is what we're talking about.
So the Pali Canon includes a conversation between the Buddha and his closest disciple, Ananda, in which the latter enthusiastically declares, "This is half of the spiritual life, admirable friendship, admirable companionship, admirable camaraderie." The Buddha replies, "Don't say that, Ananda. Don't say that. Admirable." I get to say it all these times and I'm kind of choking on it. "Admirable friendship. Admirable companionship. Admirable camaraderie are actually the whole of the spiritual life. When a practitioner has admirable people as friends, companions, and comrades, they can be expected to develop and pursue the Noble Eightfold Path."
I have a couple of responses to your reading. First is the difficulty with pronouncing the word admirable may parallel with maybe the difficulty in really finding people that we can rely on in this way, who, you know, stick by and are admirable in how they relate to us. I think it's challenging. Mm. The second thing I wanted to say is I want to change the last sentence, even though it's right from the teachings, and say they can expect it to develop and pursue along all of these teachings, not just the Eightfold Path, but yes, the Eightfold Path, but much more.
Right, right. And there might be the idea that the Eightfold Path encompasses all of the teachings.
Right, right, so. Right, which is a good way of looking at it, too.
Yeah. And Nellie and I were speaking this morning, which we typically do before we come and talk to you guys and have a conversation. And when we were looking things up, we really saw that the relationship for the spiritual friend, admirable friend, is between teacher and student traditionally. And most of the suttas are geared that way, of looking at the Buddha as the admirable friend. And we were, you know, having a talk about how that kind of tilts towards a power dynamic rather than a kind of a mutual sangha development.
And oh, I was going the opposite way, Linda. So, but I think both are true, actually, because I was saying that thinking that it tilts it more towards mutuality. If you're saying the relationship, wow, the relationship between Buddha and one of his disciples is friendship, that takes the Buddha out of, you know, our Lord, the Buddha, which probably is a more, you know, whatever, Christian translation using the word Lord, but to a more mutual one, but it's not actually how it usually or often plays out.
Or how it was even then eventually translated, because it's kind of like if I have the Dalai Lama as a friend, it's a little different than if I just have, you know, my friend down the street. There's a kind of name recognition that goes with the leader of a Sangha. But then again, you know, I don't know that the Buddha was, you know, was actually that. We really don't know how he was perceived within his community completely.
Or how he wished to be perceived.
How he wished to be perceived, yeah.
But at any rate, us humans now, we know, really want heroes. We want an elevated teacher. And that is not what we offer here in reflective meditation. It could be part of why our sanghas are smallish.
Yes, and why our retreats are smallish and why our groups are smallish. We're rooted in a kind of relationship that develops from doing the practice together, which I think other practices would say the same thing. So there's something different that we're trying to get at, like what develops on retreat when we go in and we listen to each other in a certain way and we sit together and we sit in a circle and share our ideas. And we're not really putting a focus on a teacher-centered practice.
Although, of course, we do take a lot of responsibility as teachers and do actually a lot of work. So it's the middle path here is what it is. Last weekend, we did an online retreat. I can't believe it was just last weekend. And at the closing circle, it was an interesting retreat. It was a little smaller than usual. And it was an interesting mix of people who'd been with us for a long time and people who were new or newish with us. But at the closing circle, there was one thing that kept being said over and over again, which is how surprised people were by how much they felt this sangha that had gathered for this long weekend for this retreat, and how much they felt held, and how much, I'm going to say, sort of, because this is what I think develops respect, admiration, and caring.
Right. And that was commented on, and actually I feel it's something that we offer, is that people, we invite people in not just to the Dharma, but to the Sangha, to a group of people that have been practicing together this way, that know how to listen and not give advice and not kind of take the conversation off into another realm, so to speak, and that it is something that goes together hand in hand. If the Dharma is open and inviting, which is one of the attributes of it, to find the people that way also really makes a difference.
So we have another retreat coming up soon. It's coming right up, it seems, June 10th to 16th. And I've been told it's a really beautiful location. It's a Tibetan Buddhist retreat center that's sort of, you know, more newish than, you know, kind of old and worn out, so to speak. And it's about 2 hours outside of Portland. And you will probably be receiving an email invitation later on today with the registration link and everything. We're sending it out. If you're in the Pine Street Sangha or Sati Sangha email list, you're going to get it. And please do consider, I know it's short notice, but we'd love you to join us.
There will be, a different energy meeting in person. And we haven't done so in over 4 years since the start of the pandemic. And truthfully, with the amount of work that it takes to do an in-person retreat, this may be the last one. It may not, but this might, we just don't know because of the amount of effort that it takes to get us together. We are a national organization, so to speak. There's people from all over, but we don't live near each other, and it's hard to get all of us together. And
we are an aging community, so various physical things do prevent can prevent going and traveling to an in-person retreat too.
And I hope you'll like the invitation that you get from us in the newsletter, because we put our description of the retreat, and then we also asked AI to write a description for us. And it was really fun and very different than how we would say it. In fact, they told us at the very last sentence, this is the AI version, "Trust me, you don't want to miss out on this opportunity to strengthen yourself and have a blast while doing it."
That's a lovely ending, but I have to add one more thing in, which is, you know, we don't usually ask, maybe we've never asked you for this, but, you know, I think we should ask you to suggest this to your friends, like, because our best referrals for whatever, a doctor, I just got a referral for a plumber, it comes from my dear friend. I go to my friends. Who's a good plumber? Who's a good doctor? She actually, also the same person referred me to my doctor. She's a good referrer. But anyway, our best referrals to reflective meditation really come from friends of our community. They don't usually come just from, well, they don't come from Facebook. They don't, it's more from people saying, you know, this is good, check it out. So thank you for inviting anyone to check it out and see how it fits for them.
We now invite you to meditate in a position that's comfortable for you for 15 minutes. This can be longer or shorter. There are no hard and fast rules. After your meditation, try journaling about your experience. Was there anything in your meditation that made you curious? If you'd like to join us daily, we meet daily online between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. US Pacific Time. The link to join us can be found at reflectivemeditation.org/daily online. And if you'd like to support our work, please head to reflectivemeditation.org/daily online to offer a donation. Any donor would be gratefully received. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.